power, power. It's the what? Power, power. It's the who? Power, power. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives. Power, power. It's the what? Power, power. It's the who? Power, power. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics. Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crust out your eyes, we about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like how do we get out this low estate? We let the scripts prophesy, we bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you, precept upon precept, line upon line, the scripts say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power, power. The what? Power, power. It's the who? Power, power. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives. Power, power. It's the what? Power, power. It's the who? Power, power. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives. Power, power. It's the what? Power, power. It's the who? Power, power. Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives. Power, power. It's the what? Power, power. It's the who? Power, power.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour, Native Latin and Black Biblical Topics. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Shalom, happy Sabbath, Captain Afari.
Shalom, happy Sabbath, Officer Shai.
Happy Sabbath, happy Sabbath. You know what? I realized the other day we've been remiss in mentioning the websites, right? So as we were doing before, we'll make it a point to try to mention websites again. If you'd like to get more understanding, more knowledge, find out more about Israel United in Christ, you can go to IsraelUnite.org. We have a multitude of classes on different topics that go in much more depth than what we can possibly do in a radio show slot. All right, so make sure that you check that out. Also, if you'd like to get any type of Israelite apparel, calendars, music, different things like that, you can go to OriginalRoyalty.com once the Sabbath is over. All right, OriginalRoyalty.com. And you'll be able to purchase various items like that. So, man, it's like, I don't know if it's the news or it's just like the availability of the news or if it's just the world. There's just so much going on, like every week. There's like so much to pick from, like to say, gosh, I think we could do one of those everyday podcasts and like just if we wanted to and talk about all the stuff that's going on in the news, right? Mm-hmm. Like just kind of. Hey, let's have the dialogue about that stuff. So there's so much stuff. So, you know, there I was like, I'm going to have articles from before that I had wanted to go over. And I was like, yeah, I was going to bring one up. You know what we never spoke about? I think you sent the one with from the, I don't know if it was Sports Illustrated or something about one of the football players. And it's like a
theory. Man, that thing is...
Yeah, we got to talk about that one. And so I was leaning towards doing that one. And then I said, you know what? I'll save that. I've been wanting to do this one for a while because what I'll do is I might not read the whole article. I might read just a little bit of it. And right. If it makes sense, I'll say, all right, let me add it to my reading list, right? Like on the phone, like that's like an Apple thing. Yeah. So it's like a bookmark, but, you know, they call it a reading list, like a little organized, a little different. And these two are next to each other. So I chose this one. This is actually a very old article that we're going to use for the show today. But as has been so many things lately, It's not because of Trump that it's like this. It's the Most High that has chosen this time to allow these type of things and all this stuff to kind of be shown and
so
things like that.
Flat.
Right, right. So, and, you know, like Christ said, like Paul said, in the spirit of Christ, we should not sleep as others do, but we should watch, right? Mm-hmm. Lest the good master of the house come back and find us asleep. So it's important that we just know this stuff and we're aware of it because it shores things up as people discover us, right? Because I think what you have nowadays, and I'm oversimplifying it when I say this, it really has boiled down to kind of two type of factions, and I'm not including the Israelites in that because to me that's like an ordained thing that's supposed to be that way, right? You're going to have those of us who are awake and that's there. It's two factions. You have the vilely liberal, extremely vile. Because I, you know, I'm thinking about the whole agenda of just the whole what they are now calling the Democratic movement. But it's the liberality. Those are the people that are on the liberal side. You can call it Democrat, and Lately I feel like I like to stay away from the party names because people get so crazy about that stuff.
That's by design.
Yeah, yeah. They just get so nuts over that crap. So I don't like to say, oh, it's a Democrat. There's liberals. And then you have the pseudo-conservatives, right? And I say pseudo-conservatives because they're not really conservative. At the end of the day, both sides are trying to fill their own belly, trying to do their own agenda. And always remember, it's the WWF.
Yep.
It's all a horse and pony show up front, and then behind the scenes, they're eating the catering together, you know? And with that, you have these people who are basically, especially as newer generations come, no concept of God, no concept of spirituality, and it's really serving their bellies, lovers of mankind, right? And then the so-called Republicans, they're probably, no, I'm not going to say probably, they're on board with a lot of serving their bellies also, so long as it lines up with their agenda in their pocket, but they understand that for them, in certain circles, to have their power, they got to pander to their constituents, and so they play this, they put on this face.
Yeah, but you talk about pandering to their constituents, Trump was just pandering to the LGBT. Had him on video.
Yeah, he's all over the place, man.
But no, but the conservatives love him because he's so conservative, he's so patriotic.
Yeah, I was thinking about it today, and that's why, I mean, if anything, he's even more reason how you know it's all BS. You know,
I put that out there, Cap, because our people that may be on the fence that really still believe that this is their only hope.
Yeah.
He brought up vote or die. No, you brought up that. You don't see somebody brought it up there. They don't say vote or die because they got everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I agree with you on that. And I say it to say it like this. It's like I think to me it just feels like that. It's almost like the Most High has a sense of humor.
He does.
And I think he loves to see us in, remember, he says he wants to see the enemy in division, right?
Yep.
Because, you know, I think if you cannot see through, because supposedly everybody's rallying behind Trump if you're a Republican, but he's not a Republican, he's not a Democrat, he's literally a court jester that'll say whatever, and I think he's, for those who can watch it, because people keep supporting Trump. They're not saying that they support his values, his ideology.
No, it's him, because he doesn't bring anything out. He's never spoken anything.
No, yeah, and that's the thing. He's not speaking policy. He's not laying out and I'm literally seeing people, I'm seeing family members talk about, yeah, you know, that this was unfair, his town hall, and he laid out his plan, and I'm like,
by design, man.
So I'm like, People are A, supremely dumb, and B, supremely gullible.
Gullible.
And it goes to show you, man, that it's not too far-fetched what is prophesied in the end of days, how people are going to all turn to their own people, and, right, you know, people are going to turn, you know, their family and their brethren in and stuff like that. Like, I see it. But anyway.
Can I present that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because
you
said that the Most High is a comedian, right?
Mm-hmm.
He loves comedy. Mm-hmm. He does. Give me Proverbs 1. And I just, to get the whole point, I just got to go through this. Start at 20 real quick. Start at 20. I'll give it right back to you, Kevin. Then I just want to get to the main. The main point is in 26.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She utters her voice in the street.
Uh-huh.
She cries in the chief places of concourse. In the opening of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying.
This is us right now. This is the first two verses was talking about us as Israelites teaching on the streets, bringing out the real wisdom, not this nonsense that we have been bamboozled with on TV. Go ahead.
Saying, how long, these simple ones, will you love simplicity?
This is what Cap was just talking about. Okay? Our people are simple. And I talk about our people. The hell with everybody. Hey, nobody ever went broke underestimating the American people. They were saying. All right? But guess what? I don't care about the other nations. I care about my people. And the Most High God cares about his people only, which are the Blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, who are the Jews, the Israelites. And this is what he's saying. Read it again.
How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?
Uh-huh.
And the scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge.
He says fools hate knowledge. Fools hate knowledge. He's talking about the true knowledge of this book. Go ahead.
Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you.
Mm-hmm. That's how we hear repentance. That's how you got brothers and sisters that have repented because he made his words known to us through the prophets, through the teachers. Go ahead.
Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and were none of my reproof.
All right, so he said, but even then, those that have heard it and have rejected it and rather vote for Trump or Biden or believe in the American system and the political system and all that crazy nonsense that was designed to keep you confused.
American nightmare.
Uh-huh, the American nightmare. But here's the main point from what Cap brought out about the Most High God.
I also will laugh at your calamity.
He say he will laugh at our calamity. So, yes, the Most High is a jokester. He's putting all of this in front of us so that the simple ones can eat all this crap up because all the news in the world could just be his plan. Well, it is his plan, but could change tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's the puppet master.
Well, I'm a very certain ally there because you said the American nightmare, right? You said it could change tomorrow, whatever. Let me show you how...
Just finish it up real quick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Finish it real quick. This is important.
I will mock when your fear comes.
He says he's going to mock at you right. Who say you love the Most High God. Oh, I love Jesus when your fear comes. Guess what? When this thermonuclear destruction comes to America that is prophesied in the Bible... Mm. And these plagues that are going to come here in the very, very near future that you will be seeing, okay, if everything is correct from what the news and people are saying, you will be fearful when these famines, when these plagues that Matthew 24 spoke about, when these earthquakes in diverse places come, you're going to be fearful. And you, since you rejected God, guess what he's going to say? He's going to mock you.
Hey, Psalms 2 and 4.
Go ahead.
Psalm 2 and 4.
The book of Psalms, chapter 2, verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh.
That's why I say he's up there laughing at all this. Come on.
The Lord shall have them in derision.
In confusion. Yep. Scattered and divided.
Yep.
What you're seeing is the age. So don't be worried about if the Democrats get in, if there's a blue wave or a red wave or a multicolored, technicolored dream coat wave. Whatever the hell there is. All right, because the Most High said it's in derision. Don't be worried about it. It's by design. The thing is hilarious.
Everything is by design.
We should be laughing also because he's up there laughing at it.
He's laughing. Guess what? Because you got to use wisdom in the world, right? When they ask me, so who do you think is going to win? I go, whoever fits the agenda.
That's it.
Whoever's going to win is going to be whoever wins. You see, it's all of the Most High. Remember, in Daniel 2:21, he set up kings. And set it down, King.
Yeah, but the basis of men, he puts in place, too. That was too. All right, let me get, this is what I want to say. Job 20, and let's start at 4, dealing with the wicked, right? Because you said the American nightmare, you said it'll change here and there. Goes to show you that it's the Most High that witnesses what happens with them, right?
Yep.
Job chapter 20, verse 4?
20 and 4, start at 4.
Verse 4. Knowest thou not this of old? Since man was placed upon earth.
So it says this is from old since man was placed upon earth. You know what's heavy about Job? If someone look at Job and they would think that, like people are like, oh, what happened? What happened? Like, what's the purpose of Job, right? We understand it shows us how loyalty and devotion to the Most High through all types of perils, in the end, you'll wind up triumphant, right?
Yeah.
It gives us some insight into birthdays and how they're not right. It gives us some insight into how the relationship between God and the devil is, right? With God being absolute, because anything else, they make the devil almost equal or just a step below God, because they make him seem like he's God's adversary, never understanding that when he's the adversary, he's our adversary, right? Not God's adversary, because God controls him, right? God's his boss, right? But Job is heavy, as I've been reading Job lately, and it's because it's like in his affliction, the Most High gave him all types of visions and stuff like that.
Mm.
Because some of the stuff, as you read Job, you're like, yeah, but what does it have to do with his affliction?
Right.
Yeah. Why is that? No. What does this do? What does that have to do with that?
No. When you start talking about Leviathan.
Yeah, no. The Most High used that opportunity to give him all these visions to put forth unto us, right? Mm-hmm. So go ahead. So it says, we know this of old, since man was placed on the earth. Come on.
That the triumphing of the wicked is short.
The triumphing of the wicked is short, right? That's like in, is it Habakkuk, which is, though it tarry, like,
yeah,
wait for it, right? So though it may seem long for us, the triumphing of the wicked is short. We understand the earth is given into the hands of the wicked. Malachi also tells us that the wicked is the starting with Esau, chiefly among them, right? So it says the triumphing of the wicked is short. Come on.
And the joy of the hypocrite, but for a moment.
Why are they a hypocrite, right? It's the, and this is twofold, right? It's dealing with them, but it's also dealing with the wicked of Israel, right? You're a hypocrite because, right, you want God and all this other stuff when things are bad, but when things are good, you don't give the right credit. But it says, even the joy of hypocrites is but for a moment. Come on.
Though his excellency mount up unto the heavens.
Though this wicked that rules the earth, though his excellency mounts up to the heavens, meaning, gosh, this guy's in space. They're sending people to Mars. They've sent satellites out into the universe. That though they got all this knowledge of man, right? Remember, it says, by the knowledge of man, they knew not God, but by the foolishness of preaching, they knew God, right? In 1 Corinthians. Come on.
And his head reached unto the clouds.
And his head reached unto the clouds. This is all his science, all his accomplishments, right?
Yet he shall perish forever like his own dung.
Yet he's going to perish forever like his own dung. Come on.
They which have seen him shall say, where is he?
When things are turned right side up, where is this guy, right? Wow. That's the same thing of like, is this the man?
Yeah.
Right? Come on.
He shall fly away. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Verse 8. He shall fly away as a dream.
It's going to be like a dream. It said, he shall fly away as a dream. Come on.
And shall not be found.
And shall not be found because this is how you know this is talking about Edom without it mentioning Edom, because it says Edom will be utterly destroyed. After his time of servitude, not anymore will his seed exist in the earth. Come on.
Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night.
As a vision of the night, meaning like the nightmare, right? Where it goes away and you don't even remember it sometimes. You said, damn, I had a bad dream.
Yeah.
What was it about? Right, I just remember this and this.
Right.
And that was it, right? So, come on, keep going.
I also, which saw him, shall see him no more. Neither shall his place any more be.
Oh, nine.
Verse 9.
Yeah, go ahead.
The eye also which saw him.
Oh, I didn't hear when you said eye. Go ahead.
Shall see him no more. Neither shall his place any more behold him.
Right? So neither shall his place any more behold him. Come on.
His children shall seek to please the poor.
That's the possession. That's the servitude. Mm-hmm. Meaning his seed. Because we're the poor. We're the poor in spirit, right? So because we don't have our heritage. So it says his children shall seek to please the poor. That goes with Isaiah 66, which says they're going to come and bring their offerings to us, right, from new moon to new moon. Come on.
And his hands shall restore their goods.
And his children's hands shall restore our goods, that giving those forces back to us. Right, reparations. God's going to give us reparations.
Way.
Right, come on.
His bones are full of the sin of his youth.
The sin of his youth. Starting with that spirit of Cain and that murderous spirit against his brother. The sins of his youth and all the things he's done unto us. So when they tell you, well, that was generations ago, that wasn't me. I'm sorry for that. It says his bones, letting you know it's in his DNA.
Yes.
His bones are full of the sin of his youth. Come on.
Which shall lie down with him in the dust.
Yep, come on.
Though his wickedness be sweet in his mouth.
It says his wickedness is sweet in his mouth. Come on.
He hide it under his tongue.
Right? That's those dog whistles and stuff that they throw out, the little cold talk that they do. Come on.
Though he spare it and forsake it not, but keep it still within his mouth, yet his meat and his bowels is turned.
It says, though, just because you see them doing well and making these moves, it says it's basically rotting, right? It says, yet his meat and his bowels is turned, right? When you say, oh, those eggs have turned, or this milk has turned, meaning it's turned bad. Come on.
It is, yet his meat in his bowels is turned. It is the gall of asps within him.
Come on.
He has swallowed down riches. He shall vomit them up again.
He swallowed down riches by taking them with the sword, by oppressing us, a man and his heritage, like the scripture tells you, the riches of our heritage, and he's taking it for his own. It says, and he shall vomit them up again. Come on.
God shall cast them out of his belly.
All right. That's all I wanted on that. Let me get into this scientism stuff. Yeah, bro, I was reading this stuff, and I was like, damn. There was another one here, too, that I was reading that says something about fire. And I was like, yo, that's talking about the nuclear fire, because it says something about 24? A fire. That is,
oh, no,
let me
I'm sorry.
See.
No.
And Joe?
Yeah. Oh, 26. Check this out.
26. Job chapter 20, verse 26. All darkness shall be hid in his secret places. A fire not blown shall consume
him. A fire not blown shall consume Esau. A fire not blown means, in this vision, he's basically like saying, that's nuclear fire. That's not a fire that's blown. Traditional fire, right? You got to light it and blow it to go. He said, a fire not blown shall consume him. Come on.
It shall go ill with him that is left in his tabernacle.
It meaning, chiefly here, the United States of America. Anybody that still aligns with him, that's why all those nations in the last days, they're going to seek to their own and they're going to turn against them, because they said it's going to go ill with any of those that are left in his tabernacle, right? So that's talking about nukes. Now 29, so what I said about the heritage. Come on.
Verse 29. This is the portion of the wicked man from God, the heritage. And the heritage appointed unto him by God.
We have a heritage appointed unto us, the righteous from God, right? Which is these laws, statutes, and commandments and the Bible. And the Bible says, what have the wicked do to do with these statutes? The heritage for the wicked, meaning Esau, the so-called white man, is this destruction that you just read of in Job 20. That's his heritage. That's his inheritance. Because it all goes back to the blessing. The blessing, the secondary blessing that he got from Isaac, all right, was for a dispensation of time. Like we read back up in verse 5 where it says, the triumphing of the wicked is short. It's only for a little while. It's only for a little while.
The vessel of honor and the vessel to destruction.
Right. Yes.
Hey, those secret places are the Cheyenne Mountain, the underground cities, the underground railroads
all
that they have.
The
they think they're going down there to be saved. Even those that buy bunkers, even those of our people that buy bunkers.
Right. Yeah, right. You might be able to stay something off for a little while.
You got to come up for air sometime.
Something, bro.
When you come up, all that nuclear
this place is gonna be a smoldering. It's gonna be a smoldering. All that radiation about the nukes now. I mean, you've seen those graphics. Bishop has played them in class, and it shows you the nuke, what the Hiroshima bomb was like, and its yield and the size and explosion to the things that they got today, which would destroy the atmosphere. Wherever that place is. And let's not forget that the Most High made those miracles happen in Egypt, and basically down the block, it did not happen to the Israelites. So people say, oh, well, if it destroyed the atmosphere, how come the rest of the world is going to be all right? No, he's gonna contain and localize that nuclear fallout right over here, on this side.
You know why it's not going to happen? Because like in Egypt, the Passover, who was the spirit of Christ, right, that passed over every house that followed the laws of the commandment of putting the blood on the door.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly how it's going to be, but with the chariots taking us up.
Yeah.
And understand that the scripture says that you're going to look at what was once America. It's going to be, you could be able to see the flames forever, eternally.
Yep, that's
you are not going to be able to inhabit America ever again, according to the Bible.
It's going
to
look like, you see that movie Constantine? When supposedly he goes into hell, where he puts his feet in the water with the cat or whatever. And when he gets there, it's this decrepit world with crash cars and everything looks like it's smoky and hazy and everything. That's how I imagine it's going to look like. Probably worse than that, but just like a constant burning. All right. The danger of scientism. Let's talk about this real quick. So first, I didn't give this to you. I'm going to pull up scientism and just read it really quick from Google. And it says scientism is the thought or expression regarded as characteristic of scientists. It's the excessive belief in the power of scientific knowledge and techniques. The excessive belief, right? When something is excessive, it means too much on it, right? There's another one in Wikipedia here, and it says, scientism is the promotion of science as the best or only objective means by which society should determine normative and epistemological values. That it's the only means. And you see a lot of this with what's going on with this, with the virus and everything that's, and people are like, wow, it's science. And this is why I say that people are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, more than their own lust. We're at a time where scientism is the new religion, right?
Right.
Not science, but scientism,
right.
Which is the excessive, right? Because I've brought this out before, science falsely so-called, when you read that, let's get that real quick into these. When it says oppositions of science, falsely so-called, science has its place, right? They call it science. I like to think of it as the Most High letting us have a little bit of understanding of things. And I say the Most High for us because we know not to put too much stock in that versus the scripture. When I read this, I'll explain what I mean. Because we understand, I mean, it's still tracked back to God, but the devil gives them their understanding of science, to do these ungodly, unwieldy things that they do.
Yep.
And I'll liken it like this. It's not really because it's part of God's plan, but it's like stolen secrets. So science in and of itself isn't bad. It all comes from the Father.
Right.
The devil didn't create it himself.
Right.
But there's certain things that we are not to toil with, and they toil with it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I say this is the benchmark you got to have when it comes to science. It's not necessarily bad. What they call science is to me, is that umen and thumen, that spirituality that the Most High has given unto us. I liken it to this. One of the things with the Marvel Universe was they wanted to make everything and their powers and everything be rooted in an explanation, being rooted in science,
yes.
Right? So that it seemed realistic. So what seemed mystified seemed realistic. And then they started to transition now where some things can't necessarily be explained fully by it, meaning it's out your scope of understanding, but there's an explanation for all of it. So what we would call mysticism, what you would call other types of stuff like that, it's really just the unwieldable power and understanding that God has, that us and these vessels are not able to really deal with and mess with at this time. You know, you'll hear the terms like, oh, you're playing God and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's unruly for you to deal with it, and you can't deal with it, but they try to mess with it, right? And it's all part of design. But read this real quick, because I'm kind of going off topic here. Go ahead.
Book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 20. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling.
Right? So it says, keep the what's committed to his trust is this understanding, right? More things are shown unto us than men understand. So this understanding in the scriptures. Come on.
And oppositions of science, falsely so-called.
Right, so avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science. Opposition to what? To what he's been entrusted with, which is the understanding in the Bible. So science becomes problematic when it opposes what the Bible says. So you have this group, you have these people out there that speak about science. And what happens is it becomes scientism, which is basically a religion. Invariably, people make anything a religion. Even us, right? We made the golden calves and whatever in absence of something being there.
Yeah.
So this becomes their religion, and they get upset when you talk about it that way because to them it's just that's it, right? But you're going to see by the very nature of their defense, by their dogmatism with this stuff, it's scientism is their excessive belief and that it's the only way that we should do something. This is why I say I got to do a deeper class on it. I was watching Raised by Wolves on HBO, and remember I was saying, like, I think it's kind of difficult for me the first time around to, you know, you could kind of see some spirituality in it, but then it got, I mean, it was a good show. It was Ridley Scott, you know, he's all out there. I said, but one of the main themes was it was a religious faction warring against each other and a atheist science faction warring against each other. And basically, they destroy the planet Earth fighting over their ideology, so they go to another planet, right? And you kind of have those same elements today, right? And there's always, like, some political undertones to the show. And in that show, basically, the religious are supposed to be, like, the Republicans, the Trump supporters, and the Democrats are the atheists in the show, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, if it goes unchecked, this is what, this is what it's going to come to or whatever. But what's interesting about the show, back to my point about this, with their hypocrisy in their lambasting religion and creation and everything, is that they meet the same characteristics that they attempt to classify us that hold the Bible and creation to be true versus evolution and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So the same way they try to dissect and say, oh, well, you don't accept nothing else and you're this and you're that. Well, they don't accept nothing else and they're this and they're that also. And a lot of little underlying things, right? So let's read this article. It says the danger of scientism when science becomes an ideology. And that's what science has become, an ideology. There are two major obstacles to a rich public discussion on Charles Darwin's theory of evolution and what it means to all of us. The most obvious obstacle is religious literalism, which leads to creationism, right? And so that's their way of basically trying to downplay the creation, right? And religious literalism is like us. Like, we take it literally that God said this, and this is what happened. But what they don't understand, because they don't seek to understand, is that we understand that one day to us is like 1,000 years to God. So in that one day, we're thinking 24 hours, it could have been thousands of years that were happening in what was a day to God, right? So it says, it's the belief the Bible or other ancient sacred texts offer the first and last word on how humans came into existence. And it's true. But what they don't understand is that within that, that's that unwieldable power of God that we're not able to wield now into how he formed it.
Yeah, and then they're trying to do the wall.
Yeah,
could have been like this.
Right. We understand that he spoke it, right, through the Spirit of Christ, and it happened.
Right.
But because it's not really necessary for us to know right now, what that doesn't explain is all the processes of how it happened and what was going on behind it and all that stuff, right? This is why I made the Marvel reference. This is why I made everything else, right? So they get so one-track minded that they just, you know, they want to discover this stuff. And remember, you got to understand this spirit from the Tower of Babel to the Cain spirit to what we just read in Job about their heads in the heavens, they're above the clouds. They want to sit and be like God. So they want to understand things that they don't need to understand because they want to recreate it.
Right.
This is what I say. They can't create water. There's drought in the earth. They can't fabricate food, right, because you need seeds, even if you're doing genetic modification, right? Yeah, they're talking about growing meat in the lab and stuff like that, but you still, right, they can't just make it like the Most High. They'll never. The science has its limits, right? I was watching something the other day, and he said science is only good for repeatable phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And what we know from life is that everything doesn't necessarily repeat the same way. Meaning, we understand there's nothing new under the sun, but I'm talking about on a smaller scale. If variables are inserted, science starts to lose its ground.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it's only good for certain repeatable phenomena, right? Case in point, look at what's happening with the viruses and stuff like that, right? So, and yeah, they're gonna tell you science this that. I don't want to get into all that, but
they got 3D printers that could make food now.
Yeah,
but
you still need
it's not edible. I mean, it's not a nutrition.
Yeah.
Right,
there's no nutrients in it.
Right, right.
But just to show you how far they've got, and I bring that up to say your point that they can make it. But it's not never going to be made like God.
Right, right, because they still need something else. God made something out of nothing. They still need some source, right? Whatever it is that they put in the 3D printer to make the food, they still need that, right?
Right.
And then, like you said, it's not going to have the minerals, the content that it should, right? It'll be altered. So it says, the second major barrier to rewarding public conversation about the impact of evolution on the way we understand the world is not named nearly as much. It is scientism. Scientism is the belief that the sciences have no boundaries and will in the end be able to explain everything in the universe, but they won't, right? It's like a quote from Isaac Newton that he says, gravity explains how the planets are in motion and how all this moves around, but it will not explain who set them in motion, right? And they'll say, oh, Big Bang. Yeah, so one Big Bang kept the planet splitting. One Big Bang kept the universe, and that's if it's like they say it is, right?
Right.
So scientism can, like religious literalism, become its own ideology, right? The Encyclopedia of Science, Technology, and Ethics defines scientism as an exaggerated trust in the efficacy of natural science to be applied to all areas of investigation, as in philosophy, the social science, and humanities. Those who unknowingly fall into the trap of scientism act as if hard science is the only way of knowing reality. So the same way they come at us and they say through the Bible, this is what I'm saying, the same way that they accuse us, them with their science is the same type of thing. If something can't be proved through the scientific method, through observable and measurable evidence, they say it's irrelevant. So they ignore it. If it can't be proved through observable and measurable evidence, they say, oh, then it's irrelevant. It's not important.
Mm.
Many people have been falling into the trap of scientism this year as commentators, including myself, have examined the legacy of Darwin, whose book on the species of origins, on the origin of species, was published 150 years ago. While I'm not at all persuaded by creationists who believe the Earth is less than 10,000 years old, Listen, we don't know that, right? Like, right. That's if you take it literally that one day is as 1,000 years and not just some dispensation of time, right? I also have trouble with those who claim science can only support the atheistic proposal that evolution is a result of pure chance. And you know how you can't say that it's 10,000 years old? Look at the lineage. Remember, a lot of our forefathers in the beginning, they lived almost 1,000 years. So once you get through 10 of the forefathers, and there's many more, you got 10,000 already. So there's nobody saying it's 10,000 or 12,000 years old, right? Like you would literally have to go down and go through all the progeny if you wanted to take it literal like that, and presuming that creation was 7,000 years. Then if you look, it says Methuselah was almost 1,000, right? Enoch was 800. So-and-so was 700, 800. Almost everybody almost 1,000 years. You already surpassed the 10,000 years.
You just after their creation, you already.
Right. You're already too close, right? Or you need 3 forefathers and it's a wrap. And you're saying the earth is 10,000 years old. So that's BS too, yeah. Right? Those people who run around and say that stuff. He says, I also have trouble with those who claim science can only support the atheistic proposal that evolution is the result of pure chance. So this is where we kind of fall, and it goes back to the opposition of science, that what they call evolution is them trying to make small and wield something godly and immensely spiritual that they're not supposed to know. They're mad because Satan won't show it to them.
Right.
So they fabricate a theory, right? Which means God won't show it to them. Right? What God gives us enough. This is what it really means when it says more things are shown unto you. In here, he's given us everything we need right now. And when we see him, that's why Paul said we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. That's when we'll be able to understand exactly. But listen, if the kingdom of heaven is things that we can't fathom, then I can at least fathom that the Most High, if I want to, and I make it, is going to allow me, hey, the Most High, I want to see what the creation was like. Can you show me? Right? Remember, it says we're gods. But we shall die like men, right? We're carnal. So we're going to get all that knowledge and all that understanding. Right now, what we have is through a glass darkly, but that is enough. Hold fast, like he told Timothy, for that you have. Revelations, he tells you, hold fast of what you have till I come.
Yeah.
And don't let these things sway you, right? Because you'll have some of our own people who they want to supremely dissect creation. And there's so much that we've gone over with creation that guess what? It's enough. It's adequate. You don't need more.
Yeah, for now.
It's enough for now.
Yeah.
And you're going to let yourself fall off. You're going to miss the whole train, the bus, and everything because you're too focused on something that's in the spirit of Esau. You're already a god.
Yeah.
You're just suppressed. You don't need to know that stuff. It's the same yearning that Eve had.
Yeah.
And that's why Satan was able to tempt her and make her go astray.
Right.
So some of these things that are deeper understandings that we don't have the knowledge of right now, you need to not let it pull you away from these scriptures.
Can I bring a scripture real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Luke chapter 3, verse 36. I got it. It says, he hath found all the way of knowledge and hath given it unto Jacob his servant and to Israel his beloved. So all the way of knowledge, like don't eat pork because it's dirty and nasty. Mm-hmm. He said, don't do that. I love you. All the creation, I did it for you.
Hey, and not just that, he don't even say it's dirty and nasty. He just said don't eat it.
Right, yes.
Because it doesn't meet the criteria that I told you. We infer that onto it and say it's dirty and nasty and they're bottom feeders. And that's not wrong.
Right.
But that's not why he says don't eat it. He says don't eat it because I said don't eat it.
Right. I gave you the way of knowledge.
Because I told you that this is sanctified and this is not.
Right.
This is clean and this is unclean. And I think when we hear clean and unclean, we think that means the animal is inherently dirty,
right.
Like physically dirty. What he's letting you know is that it's not for you.
Mm.
It's not for you.
Right, because he says it is for the strangers.
Yes.
For the other nations.
Yes. So it's not for you. That's what makes it sanctified and unsanctified.
Right.
It's not for you. I want you to eat certain things because it's not for you. You got to take heed to that. Because why? We're different.
Yes.
We're different than the rest of them. Though we all come from one common descent, which you read about in 2 Ezra 6, we are different.
Yeah, we're built different. We're peculiar people. We're built different.
Right.
We're
right.
Built different from any other nation. Man.
Right. And with that means stuff like the dietary law. So he says, such people maintain orthodox science cannot contemplate the possibility that the evolutionary process may include elements of purpose. This is an example of scientism. And this is the big thing. It's called intelligent design. There's purpose behind it. One of the scientists who appears to illustrate this view is Patrick Walden, who works at the Triumph Cyclotron Laboratory at the University of BC campus. Walden had a punchy opinion piece published in Monday's Vancouver Sun, in which he began by applauding my proposal that public schools and universities expose more students to Darwin's evolutionary theory. However, while I greatly appreciate Walden's willingness to step out of the confines of academia and take on the role of public intellectual, I disagree with the second part of his commentary. Walden was bothered by my recommendation that the education system and the media help the public learn there is more than one operative theory of evolution. There are actually at least 12. So even amongst themselves, they can't agree. Sounds a lot like Christianity, right? Yeah. So they, scientism is very much like these religions, where they have Lutheranism, Catholicism, non-denominational, Protestant, Baptist, Southern Baptist, Greek Orthodox, unorthodox, all this other stuff. He says there are actually at least 12 operative theories of evolution. So even amongst their sacred cow, they have division, right? So he says, Walden assumed I was challenging the general validity of Darwin's theory of evolution, but I wasn't. I think the proposal that humans evolved over billions of years from simpler life forms is a no-brainer, right? So this guy, I'm just using his article as reference. He's still kind of firmly on it, but he's open to some other stuff. And again, what they call evolution is just the process of how the Most High, they're trying to fill in the gaps for stuff. Going back to the thing in Marvel, I think in Doctor Strange, that's why I say it's such a good example when you look at those things kind of spiritually. In Doctor Strange, when he meets the Swinton, the actress, the sorcerer, right, the bald one, he's skeptical. And then when she shows him some stuff, he's like in awe. And when there's a scene, I'm paraphrasing it because I haven't seen the movie in a while, and they're talking, and he says something to the effect of, you know, what about this and what about that? She goes, well, what you're doing with numbers and math and all this other stuff, it's all mysticism is what they call it in the thing. You're just trying to grasp elements of it. But since you don't have the full understanding, you can't do the full aspect of it, right? So being able to go up into space, that's a spiritual thing. And the devil has given that unto them to fulfill the purpose of the prophecy, right, through the Most High in Christ, right? So this is what we talk about when it's like that. We got to stop thinking about the devil as this adversary against God and more as his emissary for his plan to be fulfilled in the earth.
Yeah, that's all part of the plot to make the devil again. Because if once you do that, you're saying that he has equal powers.
Well, and not just that. It's the scapegoat. It's the patsy. Instead of you looking to them as the real devil, they fabricate this thing and say all bad things are blazed on this guy that you can never catch, you can never hold accountable, whatever, and they'll keep on with their stuff. That's what I'm saying. The levels to this stuff, for you to try to seek more than what God has already given us.
I got a headache now.
Yeah. It's a lot of, it's heavy. So he says, I'm going to jump around a little bit. So I jump down. He says, however, I don't believe either Darwin or neo-Darwinists have yet devised a complete picture of how evolution happens or what drives it. And this is true. We know that. I detected more than a hint of scientism when Walden declared that neo-Darwinism, which he called the modern evolutionary synthesis, is the only theory accepted by respectable scientists. Walden said four of the other scientific theories of evolution outlined by Carter Phipps in his article in Enlightened Next Journal, including biologist Lynn Margulis' theory of cooperation, are mere additions to neo-Darwinism. Let me jump down. Let me read this. So beyond that, Walden said the other seven proposed theories of evolution, some of which included philosophical and spiritual perspectives. So now what's happening is they're trying to hedge their bets. They're coming up against things that they can't explain as they learn more and more, right, with the human genome and everything. So rather than cave in and say, hey, creationism has some value, what they do is they try to subjugate it into their neo-Darwinism, right?
Okay.
This is what he means when he says some of which included philosophical and spiritual perspectives. Some of the other theories do include those type of things. And he says this particular guy is so dogmatic in his scientism that he says it's nothing more than pseudoscientific speculation. As such, Walden said they are nonsense. In other words, Walden, whose viewpoint represents that of many scientists, appears to believe that any discussion of evolution that does not uphold chance as the only driving force is ridiculous. So if you say that it wasn't chance and that it was purposely driven, because once you acknowledge that it's intelligent design, now you have to change the narrative and try to find the undiscoverable. Here's the issue at large with science. The world uses science, or they did at one time, to try to explain the unexplainable. So they think that God was created as a fabrication by us, not that he created us,
right,
to explain what we cannot explain. But we understand that the Bible actually gives several examples of things that are scientific. Like, how do we know the planets were round without ever seeing it? The Bible calls it the circle of the earth. How do we know the movements of the planets and the sun? The Bible gives you hints at those in the scriptures. The book of 2nd Ezra gives you more understanding, a little more in-depth detail of the creation. I went over how, when it spoke about the waters and the waters and the firmament, that it, what Esau calls it, the stratosphere, the atmosphere, this, that, and the other. There's different things to it. So they basically focus on that it's all driven by chance. He says, this is blinkered. It defaults to atheism. And it assumes incorrectly that what we believe, the way we live, is always based on provable facts, which do not include conjecture, speculation, or imagination. Everything can't be validated with facts. This is where you come in and you get the scriptures, right? So it says, science has always had a speculative component, as we see with theories about quantum physics and the Big Bang and evolution. Arguing, so he just lets you know that those things are speculative. Big Bang, evolution, quantum physics,
yeah,
that's all speculative, meaning it's not based in anything, but they will have you, they will pander it to you as it's sound, and that's it, and that's what you should be beholden to. It says, arguing that any theory about what drives evolution that is not essentially neo-Darwinistic is nonsense reflects blindness to the insights that have been offered by philosophy, cosmology, and metaphysics, let alone the arts. In addition to suggesting Walden's approach reflects scientism, I would also say it is a manifestation of disciplinolatry, which is the conviction that one academic discipline contains everything that needs to be known about a subject. But he's breaking down these oppositions of science, these people who oppose the Bible, like to a T.
Mm.
And if anything, they sound, because we actually seem more open. I would never go and say it's evolution. I mean, I did brought it out of evolution meaning change, right? And we understand that, you know, the Most High put us through a process of change and stuff like that. But they call it other things, right? Their whole thing, I had another one, we're not going to show it to them. This is why I say I got to do this maybe as an in-depth class with more stuff broken down. I'm going to call it the destruction of evolution or something like that, so that we could, like, really, like, dissect it, show videos and stuff. There was another guy that he was saying that they use, because what they really say is that we all came from a bacteria. And from this little microscopic bacteria, you get all this life that you have just through the process of evolution.
Well, where did the bacteria come from?
Right. So there's an interesting little six-minute piece. It's a little science-y, but so that's what I say. I would need time to stop and break it down,
yeah,
right? Right, and when they say the bacteria manifested. So that goes to show you their shit is all jacked up. And he was basically breaking it down how it doesn't make sense when you go deeper and break apart the processes of how bacteria add genetic stuff to themselves. So now they kind of shot themselves in the foot with genetics and DNA because it's poking a lot of holes in their theory.
There's bacteria today. I haven't seen no person come out of the bacteria.
Right. So check this out. So he says that by him and by the scientism people going through this stuff, they create a red herring, right?
Mm.
Meaning that the red herring is what we just spoke about with everybody blaming everything on the devil, and that all evil comes from the devil, right? So it helps you point the blame that way.
Yes.
It says, Walden ignores the great 20th century thinkers who have embraced evolutionary theory while offering innovative non-atheistic understandings about how it happened. When he says non-atheistic, he means that there was a designer. And there are more and more people that are coming on board to realize there was a designer. And countless other scientists and philosophers who are not easy to write off, right? So, for the sake of time, let me jump around a little bit. I might come back to the article. So one of the things they talk about, right, I want to look up the definition of dogma that I had there, right, because dogma is usually ascribed to religious people. But based on what we read and how beholden they are to this stuff, dogma also falls under what this scientism, gosh, this thing popped up.
Can you close that? That part,
yeah, it's blocking the definition right there on the X. I know you got to be careful because if you click anywhere over it, the ads pop up. Yeah, right on the X.
Up a little.
You got it.
The little hand. It's still the triangle. Go down.
If you refresh, maybe it'll pop away.
That's true.
That's what I just did. Okay. So So it says definition of dogma, something held as an established opinion. I like this one out of all of them because it's letting you know that it's an opinion.
It's not opinion. It's not facts.
But look at definition C. It says a point of view or tenet put forth as authoritative without adequate grounds.
Right.
Anything that's their theory is dogma. It's dogmatic. It's a point of view or tenet put forth as an authoritative without adequate grounds. They tell you it's Darwinism. They tell you it's the Big Bang. They tell you it's evolution, and that's it. But they do not have adequate grounds to prove it, and it's starting to be broken up. And then you look at the definition of doctrine, and look at the first one, A. It says a principle or position or the body of principles in a branch of knowledge or system of belief. And then it says it's also known as dogma. So the scripture talks about not being tossed to and fro with diverse doctrines. And it's letting you know that what falls under that is these oppositions of science. This is why he said what he said. He said, hold fast with what you have and avoid those vain and profane babblings. Because that means that there was a sect of people at that time that were coming up with BS like that, with science stuff and all that thing. And he said that that is doctrines. That is doctrines, right?
He said it in the next verse, in verse 21.
Go ahead.
It says, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. So, yes, there were some of the Israelites that were like, hey, God and this.
Because science was out back then.
Yes.
Yes.
And okay. So some concerning professing that opposition to science, they erred, they fell out of the faith.
Right. Luke was a physician, so there's some science when you're a physician involved.
Yes. And if you think about it, under the definition of science, everything kind of falls under that. I was reading Luke last night, actually, and they were talking about the fishing nets, right, and how they cast out the fishing nets and they broke, so they called the other guys over to help them. This was after Christ had preached out on the ship. And if you think about it, it just popped in my head as you said that, there's science involved in that. That's science when you figure out how to make the net to not make too many holes, how to space it and knot it so that the net doesn't break, right? So, but it goes to show you how science can be broken down because they had the net set up to catch a certain amount of fish and it couldn't hold the fish that the Most High made plentiful out of nowhere. And right before that happened, he said, hey, we've been out all day and we haven't caught fish, but we'll do what you say, Lord.
Right.
And the net's broken with so much fish. So they had to go and get some in. All that science, too. So medicine, so things with how they sailing, that's technically science, right? Because wind currents and changes and different things like that, they didn't call it that back then.
Right.
But they now science is basically just grabbed everything and try to just envelop it under its thing.
Right.
And say that this is it. And mind you, I'm not opposed to science. I've gone on record. I'm actually very into science. And when we played a clip from the chemist, I've often said, I remember when I took chemistry when I went back to college, and as I sat there, like I was debating with the professor about the carbon dating, and at one point I backed him into a corner because he talks about the half-life of carbon dating, right? So this is why carbon dating is BS. I can't remember the exact amount of time and stuff like that, but basically he says they know stuff was this age because of carbon dating, because carbon decays at this rate.
Right.
And I said, okay, and it's some crazy number that it would take several lifetimes for you to know that it decayed at that rate. So I told him, I said, well, if nobody can live that long, then how can they take a specimen or a sample and know that that carbon does decay at that, right? There's so many variables in that. Well, because they'll try to say they take a small sampling and then extrapolate that. But that could be wrong. What if the dating speeds up? What if it slows down? What if the different environmental factors have something to do with it? Right. So there's different things to do with that. And I remember him just chuckling because he said, well, this is what they teach us.
Sounds like religion, Christianity.
Yeah.
Dogma, doctrine.
But I remember by taking chemistry, right, which is a pain in the ass, it actually increased my faith. Because it made me think about how Solomon saw all these things, how all this stuff came up. And I said, gosh, I said, science solidifies my belief in the Bible, not takes me away from it. But when you fall under this dogmatic stuff in scientism, this is what jacks you up. So, intelligent design. Let's pull that one up real quick. And we'll end with the video piece when we get to that. I want to talk about intelligent design and common descent. So intelligent design Look how they like, if I pull up the Wikipedia article on evolution, they don't talk about it this way. They don't call it pseudoscientific. Right. Whenever it's called something pseudo something, or they try to put an ism on it, it's designed to like defame it,
right,
to lessen
right.
it, to cheapen it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it says intelligent design is a pseudoscientific argument for the existence of God, presented by its proponents as an evidence-based scientific theory about life's origins. So even though evidence is produced,
right.
they're so dogmatic that the authoritative powers, right, that's what the term is, doctrine and dogma, say that it's not. Proponents claim that certain features of the universe and of living things are best explained by an intelligent cause, not an undirected process such as natural selection. This is why I say I got to go into this in deeper, because we got to break down natural selection and all that stuff. ID is a form of creationism that lacks empirical support and offers no testable or tenable hypotheses and is therefore not science. The leading proponents of ID are associated with the Discovery Institute, a Christian political conservative think tank based in the United States. So you see, they try to cheapen it and break it down, right? Let me see what it says. So they have two main arguments that they try to use. It says, ID presents two main arguments against evolutionary explanations: irreducible complexity and specified complexity, asserting that certain biological and informational features of living things are too complex to be the result of natural selection. Detailed scientific examination has rebutted several examples for which evolutionary explanations are claimed to be impossible, right? So remember that thought. Actually, we'll do one more thing after the video. We'll end with the common descent. Roll up the video now, because what they're saying is that the complexity and biological informational features, right, of this stuff, they're saying it's been debunked by science. So let's go to a scientist, right, that talks about chemistry and molecules, right? And this is just a little, he don't even get real deep into it, but he's basically saying kind of everything that's been brought out.
Turn up the volume, like, right there, right there.
So stop. So he's letting you know, and mind you, if you watch him, this isn't a guy that's dogmatic and saying that there's God or anything.
Right.
He's actually very strained. It almost seems like it's against his convictions of science, but he's realizing that something else is being said here, right? And he starts talking about the molecules, right? So he says the complexity of the molecules, and he says they speak for themselves. Come on. Stop. So he said you see more and more examples as they learn more on a molecular level, on a biochemistry level, meaning DNA, the different components of the body and breakup, of complexity of foresight, meaning it was planned, not random, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
So he, I mean, in that short clip, I think he said a mouthful.
Yes.
Right? And so it makes me think this is the part. He says, in the end, they'll notice their end is going to be Wisdom of Solomon 5. We're not going there. We're going to 7.
Okay.
That's when they're going to know that there was intelligent design, right? But let me get Wisdom of Solomon 7, and let's start 16. No, 15.
The Book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 16.
15.
15. God hath granted me to speak as I would, and to conceive as it is meet for the things that are given me, because it is he that leadeth unto wisdom and directeth the wise.
Right, it's God that leadeth unto wisdom, and this goes into that unwieldable power that I says, that God power that science and man are trying to understand. And we won't, because he giveth it.
Right.
So it's only by his will that we get it. And he gave to Solomon. Come on.
For in his hands are both we and our words, all wisdom also and knowledge of workmanship.
All wisdom and knowledge of workmanship, meaning creation, life, right? All these things that they call natural selection and how this came, the workmanship. He said all of that workmanship is in his hands. And he says, I'm not just saying that on blind faith. Read the next verse. This is why. Come on.
For he has given me certain knowledge of things that are made, that are, namely, to know how the world was made.
He said, I was given certain knowledge, namely, of how the world was made, meaning particular, not the same thing y'all got.
Right.
With the way the creation was explained, I was given something particular. How the world was made, come on.
And the operation of the elements.
Those molecules, those chemicals, those the table, the elemental table.
Yes.
The period, they call it the periodic table. What time is that? The table of elements.
Yes.
And it says, and the operation of the elements. I know how those molecules move and shift to have made this. How they moved and shifted to make. He spoke it. And he controls them by his word, but there's an action that happens. Because remember, the second Ezra teaches you that all those things were subject to his will.
Right.
So if he said rain, the rain has to rain, but that doesn't mean the process of how the rain then gets to that point is untrue. But it's still at his will and at his behest. So he says, and I understood the operation of the elements. Come on.
The beginning and ending in the midst of time.
And a lot of times we just focus on that and think that he just saw the future and the middle and whatever. No, he understands every piece. It's like remember when the Patriots were videotaping people to get their game plan?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they were able to dominate? He says, God gave me the blueprint. I had the playbook for how the beginning and the midst of times were going to go. Come on.
The alteration of the turning of the sun.
The stuff that they speak about with astronomy. He says, I understood the alterations of the turning. So before Galileo and all this other stuff, he said, I understood the alterations of the turning of the sun. Come on.
The change of seasons.
Come on.
The circuits of the years and of the position of the stars.
The circuits of, so he understood all those things. Come on.
The nature of living creatures.
You know how they go and they do those animal shows and whatever. Those things are good, right? They observe them in their habitat. He says, no. Without ever having to do that, God gave me that understanding on all those things. Come on.
The furies of the wild beasts and the violence of winds and the reasonings of men.
Psychology. He understood the what they call psychology and psychiatry today. He understood that. Come on.
The diversity of plants.
Diversity of plants. So he knew what plant was for this, what plant was for that. Come on.
Yes. And the virtue of roots.
And the virtues of roots. Come on.
And all such things that are either secret or manifest, them I know.
So he's basically telling you the things that are manifest, this stuff, I knew that, and that the more in the secret stuff. And this is those molecules speaking that they're trying to decipher.
Mm.
That this guy, you see him at the end, he goes, the more we study, the more we realize that this thing was by design.
Yes.
That it was by design. Hold on, I want to look at one more. Go ahead. Talk.
He said, at the end, we're all going to come to a conclusion that it was made by something like a higher power. And he didn't say higher power, but he said it's like, we're going to come, it's like by some intelligence that is unknown. At the end of the day, you're going to know it's God that made all these things. And they don't want to say God. They don't want to confess God. And then there goes the whole thing of we are scientists and we have that kind of power and intelligence.
Yeah, keep talking. I want to make sure I bring this out the right way.
I'll praise the Lord, bro.
Okay, go to Wisdom of Solomon 19 and let's just start at 18. I won't give too much back context. It'll take too long. But let's just start at 18. To go to show you what they call natural selection and evolution.
Mm.
Is God's design also. Go ahead.
Read the book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 19, verse 18. For the elements were changed in themselves by a kind of harmony.
So he's letting you know that the Most High can manipulate the elements, right? Those molecules, those chemicals, right? He says they were changed in themselves by a kind of harmony. Come on.
Like as in a psaltery notes change the name of a tune, and yet are always sound.
But so this, What they call this soundness and how they can say, well, this always is going to weigh this. This chemical structure is always going to be this, that. He says, but within that, God has the power to make the elements change, but harmoniously. That's like when they send molecules and stuff colliding. They have that collider thing where they send atoms and stuff smashing into each other. And you've heard things about, oh, they're trying to find a God particle and all that stuff. They call it the God particle because they say that that's what to try to recreate the Big Bang, like on a microscopic scale. Anyway, the point is they're trying to manipulate these things, but it doesn't. It's always going to be this weight. It's always going to be that. Sometimes you'll burn certain chemical things, and it'll always have a blue hue. It's saying when God is dealing with that stuff, he can change it, right? But it's going to be harmonious. When they do it, it's chaos.
Mm.
They create issues. They create problems. They get chemical explosions and fires as they experiment with this stuff, right? But he says, and yet they are always sounds. Come on.
Which may well be perceived by the sight of the things that have been done.
So he's letting you know that what you see today, from the dinosaurs to the fossils to everything, it's perceived that these chemical changes, what they call natural selection and genetic stuff moving on, is by God's thing, right? That by harmony, meaning that intelligent design. It was done harmoniously, not chaotically. Come on.
For earthly things were turning to watery.
So he says, earthly things were turning to watery, right? So they're telling you there was more landmass, there was less, you know, all these theories that they have. So he says, I turned earthly things into watery things. They also talk about what? Mammals evolved to be in the ocean. They talk about the whale. How did the whale, and look at cows and look at hippopotamus, and they eventually went in there. It says God made earthly things turn into watery things. Come on.
And the things that were before swam in the water now went up to the ground.
Let me tell you something. The Bible, you got to shut the hell up with all your stuff, bro. The Bible giving you all this stuff. So that's what you call evolution. Way before, remember, it said Darwin's book was 150 years ago.
Right.
Solomon was thousands of years ago.
Right.
And it says, and the things that before swam in the water now went upon the ground. It's covered in here. Mm-hmm. This was written way before anybody came up with their theory of evolution. And it's letting you know it's by intelligent design. Come on.
The fire had power in the water for getting his own virtue.
So while y'all don't understand, right, because fire and water shouldn't do this, letting you know, he's giving you a little insight into how he dried up water parts. He said he made the fire have virtue in the water to what? Think about it. It evaporated water in certain places so more land could be in place. Come on.
And the water forget his own quenching nature.
Come on.
On the other side, the flames wasted not in the flesh of the corruptible living thing.
So can you imagine the dinosaurs walking by and stuff, and they call that terraforming today.
Mm-hmm.
The Most High was changing the landscape, and it says the fire was not touching these things.
Hey, it said in the water forgot. That means that water has life.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But it forgot because the Most High God controlled it.
Yes.
To for that moment, not to do what it needed to do.
Yes. Come on. Yep. You're absolutely right, bro. This thing is heavy. Come on.
The corrupt. Though they walked therein, neither melted they the icy kind of heavenly meat. Heavenly meat that was of the nature apt to melt.
So he's letting you know, again, they call that terraforming. So when they say the earth and the plates and all this stuff shifted and this place used to be like this and ice ages and stuff, that was all creation. God did not, after those 7 days, he manipulated things through the process of time by his, it was encoded in the molecules to do these things. That's why he says, meaning, all right, in this dispensation of time, these molecules are going to shift and do this. Water's going to forget, fire's going to do this, and it's going to reform this. Things that were in the water, I'm going to make on the land. Things that were on the land are going to shift to the water. Come on.
For all things, oh Lord, thou didst magnify thy people.
And he did it all for us. Come on.
And glorify them. Neither didst thou lightly regard them, but didst assist them in every time and place.
In every time and in every place. God assisted. There's no natural selection. It's all of the Most High. It's all of the Most High. I'm going to leave you with one last thing, all right? Let me get the one on common descent, and then let me get 2nd Ezra 6, where it says how we all come of Adam.
I need to get that. I need a sound.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, work on that. Work on that.
I am.
Work on that, producer.
Oh, my
work God. Work on the soundboard.
We definitely need that.
All right. Let me read this last thing on common descent. So one thing they all agree on, all these scientists, right, is that common descent is a concept in evolutionary biology applicable when one species is the ancestor of two or more species in later time. All living beings are, in fact, descendants of a unique ancestor. commonly referred to as the last universal common ancestor of all life on Earth, according to modern evolutionary biology. So now, you read the creation, and it talks about how he made these things, and he made these things, and then he goes and he made Adam, right? And then he said there was not a helpmeet fit for him, so then he went ahead and he made Eve of him, right? So now, let's get this in 2 Ezra 6 to show you that the Bible spoke about the common ancestor too. These guys think they're freaking showing you something with this science.
Right.
They're like, nah.
No. Discovered it.
Well, yeah, the was he in the Bible, all right? Get out of here with that stuff. Start at 6.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 6, verse 6. Verse 6.
I'm sorry, 6 verse 53. My bad. I apologize.
Yes, sir. Verse 53. Upon the sixth day, thou didst command. Thou didst command.
You're too excited, so you can't.
I am.
That wisdom of Solomon 19 got a hype. Come on.
Upon the sixth commandment unto the earth, that before thee it should bring forth beasts, cattle, and creeping things.
And wisdom of Solomon just gave us some insight into how those things were manipulated and changed, right? So he says, upon the sixth day, God did it by commandments, right, unto the earth. And it will bring forth those things. Come on.
And after these, Adam also.
Hey, evolutionary timeline tells you all those things existed before humanity. So then he says, after these, Adam also. Come on.
And thou madest Lord of all thy creatures. And of him come we all.
So we have one common descent. Yes, we all come from Adam, he says, right? Because remember, after the flood, the way the lineage was. So at that time, there were other people, other nations, and things like that. The flood destroyed all that, and everybody was repopulated through Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And when you trace back that lineage, they descend from Adam.
That's
so, right. The whole earth was repopulated by that, right? So he says, which of him come we all, come on,
and the people also whom thou hast chosen.
So yes, we may all have one common descent, one common ancestor, one common where all life came from, but he says, but within that, there's a people also whom thou hast chosen, right? Come on, read on.
All this have I spoken before thee, O Lord, because thou madest the world for our sake.
He did it for our sakes. That's like Wisdom of Solomon 19, where he said, at every time and place, he's been there to helping us, right? Come on, but this is what he says about those other nations. Let's not lose the point. Come on.
As for the other people, which also come of Adam.
So just because we have a common descent doesn't mean we're all held in the same esteem by the Lord. Come on.
That has said that they are nothing but like unto spittle, but be like unto spittle, and has likened the abundance of them unto a drop that falls from a vessel.
Some are vessels of destruction.
Yes.
Right, fit for wrath, and some are vessels fit for righteousness and blessing, and that's the distinction that they have there. So this was just a small taste into the evolution thing. There's so much more that can be brought out. Wisdom of Solomon is a heavy component of the other scriptures in the Bible. To be the Lord's will, I gotta sit down and prep it. So there's so much that goes on.
You know,
I gotta try to remember this for me, and you can push me. We gotta do something longer with this and bring more stuff out on it.
Three hour special.
All right, well, that's the show for this week, all right? We pray you get some understanding, continue to support, like, and share, all right? And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Oh, you got
at the end of the day, they're always going to refer back to God in the Bible because that's where they got it from anyway.
Yeah. Some of them are posers. They're passing it off.
They're posers.
They
call it exactly
it. Well, you know, man, Darwin read the Bible, and they said, you know what, I'm going to call it this, this, and this. You know what I'm saying? He read that Wisdom of Solomon.
Yeah, and Satan told him.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing.
Satan quoted the scripture. He said, look, here,
everything is of God. It's everything. Everything. What's the way to God? Even the fact that they thought of that.
Oh, that's heavy.
Yeah, you thought you had it big with the Genesis 49, huh? He had his moment with Genesis 49.
Oh, brother. See?
Oh, all praise to him all the time.
Yo, at the end of the day, man, this understanding that the Most High is bringing out, it destroys the whole earth, bro. Everything.
Bro, it's a disruption, bro.
Yes.
It's a problem for them.
It's a problem.
Problem.
Damn. Good show.
Thank you. All praise.